Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, got
you. Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my partner Jordan Malley, Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you. Our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. That number again, 331-979-1369. We'll get to a handful of texts from our inbox later on in today's show after our first segment, where I will be going over the latest move that Arturis Karnišovas and the Bulls have made, filling out their new staff, as this team has seen a lot of changes, a lot of faces departing, a lot of new faces arriving, and one that I think most Bulls fans will be happy about with some news that dropped yesterday, especially for a team that has been so ravaged by injuries in their 3 years of rebuilding so far. Jordan got called in to do a shift at 6:70 today, so you guys are stuck with me, but Jordan hopefully will be back in tomorrow. And we can keep the show rolling along as we are in the middle of a pretty awesome sports week here. I know White Sox fans probably pretty excited about the W they got yesterday to kick off their playoff run. I'm recording this Wednesday late morning before the Cubs have their first postseason game against the Marlins. Sox have their second game of their playoff series an hour after that. And of course, tonight, game one of the NBA Finals between the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers should be pretty fun. I think my guy Big Dave Watson and maybe also John from Outsiders are going to be doing that for Hot Mic tonight. So check us out. Download the Hot Mic app if you haven't already. Come find us. Come hang out with us. Come watch game one of the NBA Finals with us. So about that news, the Bulls making their latest hire, announcing on Tuesday that the team has named Todd Campbell the new head athletic trainer. Campbell has 16 years of NBA experience in athletic training and physical therapy. He spent the past three seasons as the athletic trainer for the New Orleans Pelicans, and before that, 13 years on the resume as a full-time physical therapist with the Boston Celtics, who he first joined in 2002. So he was a part of that Celtics staff that had a title run in 2008. Also did some work at the collegiate level, head athletic trainer for the Brown football team in 2003 and Harvard in 2012. And here's a fun fact. He was also the staff physical therapist for the band Aerosmith on their 2009 tour. So pretty crazy that's on his resume before getting into NBA jobs. But obviously, you know, that's about all we know about this guy right now. You know, his resume is what it is. I think for the most part, Bulls fans are just excited about the fact that one of the first things Arturis did, one of the first decisions he made, was declining the option that was on the contract of the Bulls' current and now former head athletic trainer, Jeff Tanaka, who had been with the team for quite some time. Obviously, there were certain frustrations from the fan base about this team's lack of stability when it came to keeping players healthy. Just this past 2019-20 season, you think about the fact that Coby White and Satoransky were the only two players on the roster to appear in all 65 games the Bulls played. Zach LaVine was on track to have a full 82-game season before I think it was a quad strain that put him on the shelf for like the last five games of the year, where had the Bulls been in a more competitive spot, maybe that's something he would have played through. But certainly Zach had earned himself a few nights off as the Bulls were, basically playing out the end of a story that had already been finished writing. So other than that, every player on this team missed significant time this season. You know, obviously the injuries to Wendell Carter Jr. and Chris Dunn hurt this team defensively, which is one area where they were at least occasionally successful. Wendell missed 22 games. I believe Chris Dunn missed maybe not quite 22. I think Wendell got hurt first, and then Dunn went down shortly thereafter. Chandler Hutchison missed 37 games between a hamstring injury, a shoulder injury. I think there were some sore shins in there as well. Otto Porter Jr., of course, the guy that we were worried about and the depth at the wing spot, played in just the team's first 9 games of the season before going out with that foot sprain that turned out to be a foot fracture. He missed 51 games this season. He also only had a short stint of games last season, the 18-19 season, after coming over in that trade with Washington before getting hurt. So, also, wow, Lauri Markkanen, haven't mentioned him yet. He missed 15 games this season because of that weird strain in his pelvis or whatever that was. So, basically all the key members of this team and all but and 4 of the starting 5, the one being Satoransky, missed significant time because of injuries this season. And some of that is weird, fluky stuff. And some of it, you wonder if the Bulls had a more competent training staff, could have been avoided. And I think Tanaka just kind of became a punching bag for the fan base who was so sick of watching all of its players go down and miss games. Because it's hard to get a rebuild off the ground if your guys aren't out there on the floor healthy enough to play. It's certainly when some of the more egregious things happened in front of our eyes this season, like when Gafford had a badly rolled ankle and was writhing around on the court and Jim Boylan wouldn't call a timeout and Jeff Tanaka is nowhere to be found. That was one example. I feel like there were others where maybe Tanaka did not exactly display a certain necessary sense of urgency when addressing an injured player on the court this season. You know, it gave us some laughs on Outsiders for a couple of shows, but it was mostly, you know, laughing to try to avoid just how frustrating it all was. So hopefully with this quality resume that Todd Campbell has, we will see an improvement in the overall health of this team. Because that was one of the things Arturas said when he first took this job, is not only is youth not going to be an excuse moving forward, we're not going to use injuries as an excuse. And Jim Boylan was pretty fond of using the injuries as an excuse to talk about why his team was underperforming so frequently and so often. Obviously pretty frustrating. So there is, I guess, worth noting a tie here with Campbell, and probably maybe one of the reasons that the Bulls were able to get him in the door, or at least the Zoom door. Pat Connolly is the assistant GM that Arturas brought in to be primarily a guy working with player development. And assistant GM J.J. Polk is the one who is in charge of salary cap stuff. Pat Connolly was brought in to lead player personnel. So Connolly being a former person in Denver, Polk is the one that has ties to the Pelicans. So that's perhaps where they got Todd Campbell to be able to come in, and a pre-existing relationship there between J.J. Polk and Todd Campbell. So another hire, another thing off the checklist, the to-do list for Arturas as he works to fill out his entire staff. I think Bulls fans can, by and large, feel pretty happy about this, just knowing that we have finally moved on from Jeff Tanaka. Before we get to some texts, wanted to let our listeners know about this great opportunity you have with DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles, incoming emails, and all the sports we have to watch, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from the national favorites like Chipotle, Wendy's, even the Cheesecake Factory. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless, to keep communities that they operate in safe. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, with that, let us get to our inbox. Plenty of texts from our listeners. Just a reminder again, the number to text, the number to call and leave a voicemail, 331-979-1369. That number is available to our fellow Bulls fans 24/7, 365. The first text comes to us from Cole in the 217, who says, Scotty was ice cold when talking about the hiring of Billy Donovan. Should Bulls fans be worried? I wanted to touch on this one because obviously a pretty interesting headline outside of what's going on with the Bulls and the optimism for the most part that has gone along with the Donovan hire. I know not all Bulls fans loved the hire. Some people maybe wanted them to go in a different direction. But in case you missed it, I wanted to break this down. So Scottie Pippen has been making some rounds in the media to promote some new business venture of his. And he was interviewed by Chris Kaysen of Forbes. And in that interview, this is what he had to say about the Donovan hire. I'll read it for you now. Quote, if you're looking at it from a fan perspective, I'm not impressed with what they did. I don't think that they have made any dramatic changes that are going to change who they are as a team. That's just my personal opinion. I like Billy Donovan as a person, but I don't think he's proved anything in the NBA that proves he's worth investing in and bringing a team up that needs help like Chicago does. They're a team that has been struggling for a long time. To me, I don't see the value he brings to them. He's going to be a coach, but there are a lot of them out there. He didn't do anything special in OKC that warranted him a second opportunity. That's just my opinion, end quote. Okay, so clearly, as Cole pointed out, not exactly mincing his words, Scotty not a fan of the Billy Donovan hire. And I got a couple of thoughts on this. One, initial reaction is Scotty is, I think, a little too harsh in his evaluation of Donovan's job performance. Yes, he has had a lot of talent in his 5 years in OKC, and he never quite got over that hump. Probably should have been in the finals as a first-year head coach with the then-still Kevin Durant-led Oklahoma City Thunder in 2016. They lost to a historic 73-win Warriors team. Yes, they blew a 3-1 lead, but you know, if Klay Thompson doesn't have a barrage of 11 threes in that do-or-die game for the Warriors, maybe we're talking about Donovan being a first-year head coach to win a title if they closed out those 73-win Warriors and then went on to beat LeBron and the Cavs. That's certainly possible. Yes, it didn't happen, but I don't think you can knock Donovan for not getting it done against a historic 73-win Warriors team. Obviously, then there was the phase out of Durant and the focus on MVP Russell Westbrook. Donovan adapted his strategies to that. Donovan adapted again when they brought in Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. He adapted again when they moved on from Russ. And this season, this past season in particular, when nobody gave them a shot at even making the playoffs, he gets OKC all the way to the fifth seed in the very competitive Western Conference and takes the Houston Rockets to 7 games in the first round. With Chris Paul and some of the other young talent he molded, along with, you know, the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, using him and CP3 and Dennis Schroeder in a very effective three-guard lineup. Clearly, Donovan expressed his adaptability as a head coach and his ability to make adjustments based on the talent he had at his disposal. So, yeah, he never quite got it done at the playoff level. But that's not something I don't think Bulls fans need to concern themselves with right now. And that's kind of what Scotty appeared to be saying. He was saying, from a fan's perspective, I'm not impressed. Yeah, okay, Donovan never won a title with OKC, but he went to the playoffs 5 straight seasons. He has an above 600 winning percentage in the NBA. Obviously, these are steps above anything that we've had from Fred Hoiberg and or Jim Boylan through the first 3 years of this rebuild. Donovan brings immediate credibility and a record of winning at the college level as well as the NBA level. Here's the other thing to me that maybe Scotty was alluding to, but in a more subtle way, and maybe he didn't want to come out and say it. And I'm not putting words in Scotty's mouth. I'm just saying this is kind of what I thought of when I heard this quote from Scotty. He could be talking about, and especially the last part of his thought where he said he didn't do anything special in OKC that warranted him a second opportunity. To me, that reads as, I would have preferred to see the Bulls hire a first-time head coach and probably a minority first-time head coach. Because Scotty and lots of other retired NBA players have at various points wondered why exactly it is that black coaches are not getting opportunities to be head coaches in this league. And the same is said about executives in the NBA, which is why it was such a great and well overdue move for Arturas to hire this team's first black general manager when he hired Mark Eversley. And maybe Scotty was hoping that one of these names on the list of candidates of longtime assistants looking for their first opportunity to be a head coach, whether it was Wes Unseld Jr. or Steven Silas or Darvin Ham or any of these names that we were hearing as, hey, could be a, yes, another first-time head coach, but could be the Bulls' first minority coach since Bill Cartwright back in the day. Maybe Scotty was kind of alluding to that and didn't want to come right out and say it. And again, to clarify, I have no reason to know this. It's not like I talked to Scotty about this. I'm just saying, especially that little part where he mentions Donovan being a, you know, warranting a second opportunity. The subtext of that to me reads, Scotty would have preferred to see a first-time coach be given an opportunity and maybe pointing out, hey, here's a coach who didn't quite get it done. Maybe the job should have gone to somebody who deserves their first chance instead of Donovan deserving a second chance. And there's something about it that just seemed to me like Scotty was alluding to a white coach getting a second chance after failing. That's what that sounded like to me. And look, Scotty is absolutely entitled to his opinion. And had the Bulls gone the route of a first-time head coach, and it was one of the black candidates, I would have been more than okay with that. I would have been happy about that. It would have been another sign of progress from this outdated organization finally actually being taken over by somebody who's going to drag the Bulls into the 21st century. And a black GM certainly helps you in that regard, and a new black head coach would help in that regard. Maybe that's something that Scotty wanted to see. And it's fair that that's something that Scotty wanted to see, but I don't think it means that he was completely accurate in his judgment of Billy Donovan. So the question from Cole being, should Bulls fans be worried about how harsh Scotty was giving his opinion on the Donovan hire? No. I think Scotty's entitled to his opinion. I think there might be a little bit of subtext in what he was saying. But no, I don't think it should concern Bulls fans. I think Bulls fans should be very happy about the fact that we got one of the best coaches, if not the best coach, on the market at the time. And he's a guy who has proven that he can win a hell of a lot more in the NBA than anything Jim Boylan or Fred Hoiberg ever did. All right, our next text message comes to us from the 319, who quotes us to start the text saying, I don't want to rehash the Jimmy stuff. And then y'all spend most of the episode talking about it, making excuses. LOL, how much did Garpax pay for this? Thanks for checking in, 319. That was one of a few texts, other people chiming in, thinking maybe we were a little harsh with our thoughts and our conversation about Jimmy on Monday's episode. Look, obviously Bulls fans have been talking about Jimmy a lot on Twitter over the last 72 hours as the Heat punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. So we couldn't not address it. Rehashing everything that's happened over the last 3 years is something that is all over NBA media right now. I can't count how many Jimmy Butler articles I've read from various media distributions and outlets and people who spent time with Jimmy here, Minnesota, Philadelphia, now Miami. It's like, it's a very popular topic right now because he is one of the best players in the finals. And he's got a pretty interesting NBA story. He's got a pretty interesting life story. As far as what Jordan and I discuss on Monday, I mean, y'all know we are no fans of Gar Foreman and John Paxson on this podcast. Sometimes there are devil's advocate conversations. Sometimes when the fan base was losing its shit over stuff that it shouldn't lose its shit over and just wanted to pile on when they were ingesting false information, misleading things on Twitter from unreliable sources about Gar and Pax and whatever they were doing or saying, yeah, we would step in, take a stand and say, wait, hold on, let's make sure that we get the facts correct. That certainly does not make us in any way Gar Foreman and John Pax defenders. And y'all know that we were just as happy as most of you to see them finally step aside. Jordan and or I can have an opinion about the Bulls trading Jimmy when they did still being the right move without being loyalists, stands for a front office that was clearly failing to get the job done. Those things are not mutually exclusive. I still think that trading Jimmy was the right move. And as his back end of his prime and the back end of his career plays out, we'll see. I may continue to still feel like I was correct in thinking that it was the right move at the time. Maybe my opinion will change over time. But right now, 3 years later, I still think trading Jimmy was the right way to go. For a variety of reasons, and I've been over them, and I don't need to rehash them. But we certainly weren't trying to make up any excuses as Jimmy Butler's getting ready to play in his first NBA Finals game tonight to say, see, Gar and John, they made the right call. Clearly, Gar and John were at fault with how things devolved with Jimmy in Chicago. Jimmy had some of that fault in his corner, too. All of that fell apart for a variety of reasons. But the most concrete opinion that matters to me is, did they make the right call to trade Jimmy when they did? And I still think the answer is yes. Doesn't mean it's not hard to watch Jimmy make it this far with a different team. We can be sad it didn't work out here. We could be happy for him that he's finally getting this opportunity somewhere else. But suggesting that in some way Jordan and or I were trying to defend the front office by saying, hey, 3 years later, still think trading Jimmy was the right way to go. No, that's just our opinion. Well, that's just like your opinion, man. Anyway, appreciate you checking in. Sorry if you didn't like our Jimmy Butler conversation. But I think, you know, we can talk about how Jimmy and the Heat perform in these finals. But that was our one episode of, okay, everybody's talking about Jimmy and the exit from the Bulls 3 years later. So let's address it. And we addressed it. We've got time for one or two more texts from our inbox. But first, wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about one of our great sponsors here at the show, Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and my new personal favorite, the apple almond crisp. And of course, some of the original flavors, you got the peanut butter brownie, the toffee almond, the German chocolate. I also really love the raspberry. Built Bars are healthy, people. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. You can lose weight, you can maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. not too much of the stuff you don't want and plenty of the stuff that you do want. It's great for people on the keto diet. Take, for example, the peanut butter bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 180, while getting only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, next up, we've got an email from Sam in Hinsdale. Hey, Jordan and Matt, longtime listener. My question is, with the recent hiring of Billy Donovan, I was wondering how you guys feel about any of Jim Boylan's assistant coaches staying or going. I was figuring Billy Donovan would like to bring in his own guys, but think that maybe keeping Chris Fleming and or Roy Rogers as holdovers from Boylan's tenure could benefit the transition period that we are about to undergo. What do you guys think? Thanks for checking in, Sam, and great question. What we heard was basically a no comment when the media availability in the introduction of Billy Donovan alongside Arturas was asked, when they were asked about Billy's coaching staff, it was basically like a, you know, give me a minute. Like, Billy's not even participating in the team's mini camp. That is being run by Arturas and Eversley, and possibly, although I haven't seen either of them in any of the footage that the Bulls Twitter account has posted or on their Instagram of these mini camp practices that we're seeing, the names that Sam brings up in assistant coaches Roy Rogers and Chris Fleming. However, we were told that when we got the Jim Boylan firing news back in August, that at least for now, Fleming and Rogers would remain on board. And I believe that both of those coaches are currently under contract and are so for next season. Because what we, you know, going back to the start of today's show, we were talking about the new head athletic trainer, Todd Campbell. And one of the first things Arturas did was make decisions that were about deadlines. And that's how he's, you know, handled this job since taking it. And there was a deadline on a decision when it came to Jeff Tanaka's contract. And upon that deadline arriving, Arturas made the decision to decline the option on his contract. So nothing like that has been reported about Fleming or Rogers, which leads me to believe that they are under contract for next season, and that there are not contract decisions that must be made for either of them for AK right now. So, usually when a new head coach is hired, they want to bring in at least a couple of their own people to fill out their assistant coaching staff. And maybe there are some people that are still there from the previous regime that are under contract, as we believe is the situation with Fleming and Rogers, where the organization would say, here's a way that we can help this transition. So I would expect it is at least a 50-50 shot, if not a little bit more likely than that, that at least one of, if not both, Fleming and Rogers remain on Donovan's staff. Now, they could be reassigned to whatever levels of responsibility they had under Boylan, and Donovan could potentially bring in his own person to essentially be his go-to person, his associate head coach, his number two, and maybe that person won't be Rogers or Fleming. But I think it's, from everything we've heard, fairly possible, if not likely, that both of those people remain and are assistants under Billy Donovan, while Donovan also adds one or two people to his staff. But that is just my educated guess based on how these head coaching transitions tend to go in the NBA, based on this Bulls organization and how they operate with head coaches and bringing in their own people, filling out their staff while also promoting from within. So, again, they were asked that question at Donovan's introductory press conference, and they basically said, no comment, give us a minute, and we'll figure this out. So I wouldn't necessarily expect to get any concrete on that answers immediately, but I would bet that that's one of the things that they are talking about as we speak. You know, obviously they have a lot of work to do to evaluate this young team and the pieces on this roster and try to work with them and address how they can get these players to play and perform better as individuals and as a team. And there's plenty of time to do that because the Bulls aren't going to play competitive basketball again until January 2021 at the earliest. You got months. But I would be willing to bet that one of the things near the top of their to-do list right now is AK, Eversley, and Donovan having conversations about who he would like to add to his staff and what the roles of the people on his staff will be, including holdovers like Fleming and Rogers. And yes, I do agree with Sam. I think it could benefit the overall transition period from Boylan to Donovan and for the players to have some familiar faces there because, you know, by all accounts, we didn't hear a lot from Bulls players talking about assistance this season. Obviously, most of the questions the media lobbed at them were about their head coach, Jim Boylan, and what he was doing. But Fleming and Rogers, I believe, you know, to be both very well-respected people in the league. And that, you know, for example, a guy like Roy Rogers was credited for a lot of the developmental steps that Clint Capela took when Rogers was in Houston. And while we're going to be, you know, seeing the Bulls and Donovan bring in new people to help with player development, and of course one of them being, you know, AK's guy Pat Connolly from Denver, and now, you know, we have a new athletic trainer as well, you would anticipate that maybe the Bulls' new staff see what Roy Rogers did in Houston, see what Chris Fleming did to get that Brooklyn team to overachieve some and say, hey, maybe we can make use of these guys and also help this transition by having some familiar faces for our players to be learning and taking instruction from. Thanks for checking in, Sam. All right, one more text and then we'll get out of here. This one comes to us from the 570. Matt Peck, why are you so pro Joakim Noah reuniting with the Bulls but not Derrick Rose? Why Joe but not D Rose? My opinion is I don't think either are a good idea. Listen, this is a fair question, and I have an answer for it. But first, I just wanted to point out that it is a totally fair question. First and foremost, I mean, as much as I fell in love with Derrick Rose, the rising star, the rookie of the year, the second-year all-star, the third-year MVP, I was all in. I mean, he made me love basketball and love this team more than I had in a long, long time. The injuries were frustrating. Some of the other parts of the Derrick Rose drama were frustrating. And Joakim, meanwhile, quickly became and always has been one of my favorite Bulls in franchise history. In my lifetime of fandom, Joakim is probably in my top three of favorite Bulls players ever. And Derrick Rose is not. And that's just my personal fandom feel. Everything that Joakim did on the court, everything he did for the city of Chicago, and I'm not saying that Derrick Rose didn't do things for the city of Chicago, because he certainly did. But the way that Joakim represented this city on the court every night, the way that he completely gave everything of himself. And again, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Derrick Rose when I say what I loved about Joakim Noah. But watching Joakim Noah play basketball is one of the favorite things I've ever had in my life as a sports fan. And that's just like the gut feel, the emotion, the nostalgia aspect for me. I have more nostalgia about Joakim than I have about Derrick Rose. The other reason, and it's probably more important, is that I think that there are differing expectations from the fan base when there are fans over the last several years who had been saying, bring back D. Rose, clamoring to bring back D. Rose, bring back D. Rose. Whereas the concept of bringing Joakim back to be like a player slash coach has really only come about in the last few months, right? Like, I wasn't clamoring to bring Joakim back years ago as soon as he left. Bulls fans were clamoring to bring Derrick Rose back as soon as he left and then went through all that drama in New York and was out of the league for a while, had the stint in Cleveland that didn't work, you know, found his second life. Tibbs gave him a chance in Minnesota, and then we saw him really bring back glimpses of the Derrick Rose we remembered in his season with the Pistons. And it was great to see him make that comeback. But I was always not on board the Derrick Rose reunion because I was afraid of the fan base and Derrick going through all of that again. Is he hurt? Is he healthy enough to play? Is he as good as we want him to be? Can he lead this team back to relevancy? I mean, Bulls fans were so quick to forget all of the heartache and the mental stress that we put him through and that he put us through. That never existed with Joakim. Joakim was always the one trying to hold shit down, keep everybody sane, keep the locker room together, go out there and play hard every night, whether or not Derrick was out there with him. Joakim was always keeping it real. Joakim never gave Bulls fans headaches. And I don't think that we ever gave him too many headaches, other than when he felt like he had to stand up and defend his buddy Derrick when half the fan base or more was ready to run Derrick out of town. It's crazy to me how quickly Bulls fans forgot that part of the story. The fans of this city, the fans of this team were awful to Derrick. And I was one of the last standing Derrick defenders when people in this town were trashing him for not playing, not coming back in the second round of the playoffs against a LeBron team that you probably had zero chance of beating anyway. In his first competitive basketball after an ACL tear, some of the things that I was hearing from Bulls fans made me sick. And I, all this time, whether it's Kendall Gill or anybody else on Bulls Twitter giving me shit for it, being against the Derrick Rose reunion, always had that on my mind. Don't forget how ugly it got when Derrick Rose went from being wonder boy of the, you know, homegrown streets of Chicago to this is all a mess and everybody hates everybody. I didn't want to go through that again. Still don't. Maybe at the latter final stage of Derrick's career, which hopefully isn't for at least a few more seasons, we can bring him back for a, you know, retire as a Bull season, and he can be a mentor for whatever young point guard the Bulls are molding at the time. And I would be fine with that. I would be fine with that when that day comes. To me, that day kind of is already here for Joakim. And that's why bringing Joakim on a veteran minimum deal for a year to mentor some of the young guys, mentor Wendell Carter Jr., Joakim, you know, a all-defensive team guy, a defensive player of the year, who also was one of the best passing bigs in the league at his prime, could teach a lot to Wendell Carter Jr. And I've certainly heard Bulls fans say, well, Derrick can mentor Kobe White in very much similar ways. And I'm not saying you're wrong about that. I'm saying over these years, between Derrick leaving and now, I had been anti-Derrick Rose because of my fears of what the fan base went through, what the fan base put him through, what he put us through, and reliving all of that. All of that. But that I've never said that I never, ever want to see Derrick in a Bulls jersey ever again. I think he needed a break from the Bulls. I think we needed a break from him. And that's not the same as Joakim, because none of that drama ever happened with him. So there's the difference, in my opinion. But again, totally valid question. I hope I explained it to you as well as I could. That's it for today. Thanks to everybody who's keeping our inbox full. We do have some fresh voicemails that Jordan and I will get to probably either tomorrow or Friday. In the meantime, hope everybody enjoys game one of the NBA Finals tonight. I don't know about you. Obviously, you got to pick a side. I'm rolling with the Heat. I will be happy for Jimmy if his underdog Heat make this crazy playoff run cap off with a title. It would be unexpected, certainly. But you got to, when it's not your team that's in the fight, I always feel like rolling with the underdog. That's kind of how I roll. So I'm on the Heat bandwagon now. Certainly not expected to get to this point as far as who we are seeing in the NBA Finals. But now that we're here, I'm all Heat, baby, which is like, it sounds and feels like such a dirty, dirty, filthy sentence coming out of my mouth. But that's where we are. It's crazy. Hope everybody enjoys the game tonight. Again, if you want to, come hang out with me and Big Dave and hopefully maybe also Sabine. My Outsiders guys, as we will be doing the game on Hot Mic tonight, tip off 8 p.m. Central Time. And for all you baseball fans out there in Chicago, North Side or South Side, good luck to our squads today as we get the MLB playoffs underway. By the way, shout out, if you are a baseball fan of the Cubs or Sox, check out their Locked On shows, Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears, my guy, Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill. Great pods in the Locked On Chicago podcast family. For my partner Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks so much for listening. Thanks again to our sponsors for today's show, both DoorDash and Built Bar. Be sure to check out those great, amazing deals available to our listeners right now. We will be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. Until then, T-Red, be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com